My apologies. I don't know why my colleagues always let me go first, but to open the floor, firstly, thank you very much for the special rapporteur for her comments, as well as thank you for Professor Viljoen, who's currently in Canada, if I remember correctly, for his inputs. This issue, last week I attended the, like many colleagues, the advisory committee meeting, where the report that they had just finalized on systemic racism broadly, which included issues of systemic racism noticed within the migration and refugees, etc. And therefore, we have decided that we will actually ask a further study specifically aiming on the influence of systemic racism was vis-à-vis cross-border movement, whether or not it be visa applications or migration or the treatment of refugees. For an anecdote for yourselves, as South Africa, it was very interesting. During apartheid, in spite of sanctions, South Africans were able to move around the world without visas, except for those countries that banned South Africans from visiting. Fascinatingly, less than 2 years after the new South Africa, all those countries suddenly imposed visas against us. What changed is the question. We went from a minority-ruled country to a majority-ruled country, and suddenly all those very countries imposed visas on South Africa. It is a clear indication. Of course, other excuses will be made, but it's a clear indication that it was almost an immediate effect. And if you look at the visa regimes and the regimes of cross-border travel across the world, look at all the countries that are imposed very difficult conditions to obtain visas or to paint working permits or any of these. There is a common thread in all of these countries that experience these very difficulties to move outside of their own borders towards the Northern Hemisphere or other such places. There is always excuses made of how people are treated, but we have recently seen in the conflicts around the world that even people in dire straits of refugees when they cross the Mediterranean, that they are treated completely differently than everybody else, that laws are even being imposed that now break the oldest law of the sea, one of the oldest international mechanisms of the world. For example, that says if a ship is sinking, is sending up an SOS, the nearest ship must go, not should or would, must go and rescue. Suddenly, when you do that, you get put by a fine of 2,100 years and then say, oh, we're nice, we commuted to 480 years because you rescued people on a ship. And then saying, no, we're not, so rescues can still happen, can still be obtained to rescue people from the sea. We didn't do that, but no ships does it anymore. We recently saw tragic of over 46 people dying very soon after those sentences, because nobody adheres to the SOS anymore, in spite of the states having imposed this, saying, no, it doesn't influence rescuing. But when you do, you run the risk of such horrible sentences. These are not common. These are not normal. These are new things. That's the oldest law of the sea. There will be more drownings. There will be more people thrown back into the sea for crossing, leaving war-torn zones where very countries who are actually bombing their cities. These are systemic racism issues that we clearly have to address very quickly and very urgently in the self-reflection and of states. And I hope that the advisory committee will be able to do a thorough study on it in general, not just aiming at migration or refugees, which I assume the IOM are very working and the ICHR are also working very strongly on. But these are impediments, and we all states who are subject to such restrictive visa regimes should also look at why those are imposed. And it is not necessary because, as they claim, people are coming to be illegal immigrants in those countries. That is not necessarily the case. I thank you.